Well, good morning, El Paso, Las Cruces, West Texas. Blessings to you this morning, and the title of the message this morning is The Secret Blessings of Thanksgiving. I remember one time I was looking in the mirror and I saw about a flea-sized mole that hadn't been there before on my upper back. I watched it for a few months and it seemed to be getting bigger, and by the time I finally went to the doctor to have it checked, he was so concerned about it that he laid me down on the table and he said, "I'm going to cut this out right now." It turned out to be the deadliest form of skin cancer. And after it was biopsied, I'll never forget the phone call I got from my doctor. He very solemnly told me that this isn't good, Joel, that this cancer has spread to the edges of the sample, and they would need to immediately do a larger surgery and to take more skin out of my back and to make sure that it hadn't spread through the rest of my body. And he was concerned that it had spread. At the time, I had four young children with a fifth on the way. I remember the terrible fear and dread of thinking that I may not have much time to live and how I might be robbed of seeing my little ones grow up. I had so much dread and stress that I remember one night I was crying out to the Lord and bringing this burden to Him, and all at once, a miracle happened. He just took away all my dread, all my stress, all my fear. Miraculously, 100% of it was gone, and I had perfect peace in the circumstance. I've never felt anything quite like that before. In fact, I think I can say that this is the closest I've come to seeing the verse from Philippians 4, 6, and 7 truly play out. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There needs to be a guard in our hearts and minds through these circumstances, because many of you know just how stressful these things can be. Maybe you're listening to this and you're going through something very difficult, and you know it is so stressful, it's so difficult, and you're like, the battle is in the mind even more than maybe with the circumstance, trying to deal with the stress and the fear that comes with these things. This week, I had a colleague at work approach me and tell me that she just had a positive screen for potential cancer, and she has to go in to get a biopsy. She was especially worried because she gets screened every 6 months faithfully, and this has never happened before. She's in her 40s, and her mom had died of cancer in her 40s. She has a young child, and she told me that she is extremely stressed, worried, and scared. But because God allowed me to go through this in my past, I was able to minister to her knowing exactly how she was feeling. I shared with her my story of what I went through and how God took my stress away, but I also told her about the story of Corrie Ten Boom and how she was taken into a concentration camp in Germany during World War II only because she had been hiding Jews to save their lives. So she was given the same condemnation as the Jews when she got caught. She and her family, and most of her family, were killed, and she and her sister were now imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp. And they immediately found that their overcrowded barracks was infested with fleas and lice. And this was just too much for Corrie. And she complained to God about how this could possibly be happening to them. But her sister Betsy quickly reminded her of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Corrie said that she just didn't have enough strength to thank God for the fleas. That was just too much. She could thank God for a lot of things, but she wasn't going to thank Him for the fleas. But finally, she agreed and hesitantly prayed to God and gave thanks for the fleas. She and Betsy, her sister, quickly discovered that no guards would ever come into those barracks because they were protected by the fleas. The guards didn't want to be exposed to the fleas, so the fleas were actually their guards against the guards that might brutalize them or stop them from having their Bible studies and everything else that they were doing. So they had many witnessing opportunities, and they could do as many Bible studies with as they wanted with all these women. There was over 1,000 women in this one barracks with no interference from the guards. When Corey realized that the fleas were actually a blessing, not a curse, she was filled with joy because the Lord directly showed her how this particular hardship was truly a blessing in disguise. There are many potential purposes for the trials in our lives, but one thing we must always remind ourselves of is that God's will is that we thank Him through the trial, and He promised that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That's Romans 8:28. That's a promise. So Paul started this verse by saying, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. We know that, but do we know that? Do we truly believe that? Or do we find ourselves complaining when someone cuts us off on the road or when we get caught in a traffic jam? Do we believe that even something like this may be God's blessing in disguise? Maybe He wants us to pray for that person who cut us off, instead of curse at them. In fact, I know that that's the will of God because His word tells us to bless them who curse you. If someone cuts you off, you should bless them and pray for them. We don't know what they're going through in their lives. Maybe they just found out they have cancer. Maybe they just found out their parents have cancer or their child has cancer and their headspace is in the wrong place and they aren't paying attention. Would that change if we knew? Would that change our perspective of them if we knew what they were going through? Maybe He's preventing us through a traffic jam from a worse accident up the road. Or maybe God has something perfectly timed up ahead for us because of the traffic jam. Usually we just have to trust Him through these circumstances. But if we're serving Him in our lives and really seeking Him, sometimes He will pull back the curtain and show us what a blessing the fleas are in our lives. We might have many fleas in our lives that bother us, but if we trust God, we will ultimately see that they were all a blessing in disguise. When I was 16 years old, I was playing high school football and I severely broke my leg during a catch. I was so disappointed because I was the star receiver and the quarterback seemed to always throw the ball to me, and we had a great opportunity to go to state or even win state that year. In fact, when I broke my leg, it was my fifth catch in a row when I got the injury. It turned out that my leg broke due to a cyst that had been eating away at the bone in my leg probably since I was born. So they had to rebuild my leg by taking bone out of my hip. This was at a point in my life when things were getting out of control and I was truly rebelling against God. I quickly became aware through this circumstance that God had pre-planned this injury not to harm me, but to help me, to grow me, and to keep me from a greater harm in my life. That if I didn't turn away from my sin and my sinful lifestyle, that something worse was going to happen to me. This was a time of deep reflection for me in my life, and I drew closer to the Lord than I ever had before. However, once I had fully recovered and got back to success in sports and my life in general, I forgot about the mercy that God had shown me. About 5 years later, I found myself drowning in a river after being flipped out of a raft during some whitewater rafting in a perilous part of the river. I was stuck underwater in a hydraulic reversal with no real hope of escaping. Well, under the water, it took me a while, but I finally cried out to Jesus to save me, and the river immediately let me go. This was yet another circumstance in my life where God had brought a severe trial into my life, not to destroy me, but to lift me up and to help me grow, and to get me to turn away from the sinful, destructive path I was on, and to help me become a person who could help others in their trials. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we're told of the story of Joseph, who was actually a well-behaved, good son to his father. But he had many brothers who were more rebellious and who were jealous of him because he had the favor of his father. His father, Jacob, sent him to check on his brothers one day to check on their work, And they became so enraged with young Joseph, who was about 17 years old at the time, that they decided to kill him by throwing him into a pit and leaving him there with no one to pull him out. However, they ultimately changed their minds about leaving him in the pit when they realized they could make some money by selling him as a slave. So then they went back and made up a lie to their father that a wild animal had killed Joseph, and his father was extremely heartbroken and sad. But God gave Joseph favor with his slave masters in Egypt, and he put him in charge of his whole house. So Joseph's actually the slave of a bigwig in Egypt, and he does such a good job that this guy gives Joseph charge over his whole house. And you can imagine, you know, at the time what Joseph must have been thinking. Well, God is blessing me now because of all the bad things my brothers had done to me. But little did Joseph know the worst was yet to come. His slave owner's wife found him to be attractive and she wanted to sleep with him, but he refused, saying in Genesis 39:9, "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has my master kept anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" But she continued to pursue him to the point where she ripped off his garment. But he ran away from the situation because he did not want to sin against God and dishonor his master. She was so angry that he wouldn't give in to her, that she made false accusations against him of sexual assault. And that resulted in him being falsely accused of sexual assault against her, and he was thrown into prison under false accusations. Can you imagine what he must have felt at this point? First, he was betrayed not only by his brothers, simply because he was obeying his father, but now he had false accusations against him. So he had been thrown into a pit, he had been sold as a slave into Egypt, and now false accusations against him right when he thought he was getting back on his feet, and now he's rotting in a prison cell. So finally, when things seem like they're turning around, here he is at the depth of despair in a prison. It would have been easy for Joseph to get angry at God in these circumstances and to give up. He could have done what Job's wife told Job to do: give up, curse God, and die. Do you know that in our dark circumstances, this is exactly what Satan wants you to do? He wants you to give up and curse God and die. That's his goal for your life. That's Satan's plan for your life, to get you to curse God. In Job 1:11, Satan expressly says this to God. He says, "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that Job has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And he even says it again in Job 2:5. He says, "But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." So do you see what the wager was with God? Satan's goal for Job, Satan's plan for Job, was to bring about such trials in his life that he would curse God. Satan even uses Job's wife against him to try to accomplish this goal. In Job 2:9, it says, that his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." And this is after Job had lost his children, his property, his family, his friends. Everything came crashing down, his wealth, everything. He was a rich man and he lost everything. But instead of cursing God, Job actually blessed God in this circumstance. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Isn't that amazing? Even though he lost everything, his children, his riches, his health, everything, he still refused to reject God and to curse God. But instead, he blessed the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. You know, Joseph is another example of one who carried on through his trials, in spite of his dark and terrible circumstances. So now he's in prison, but he trusts God and he does the best he can in his circumstances and in the situation that he was in. And in Genesis 29:21-23, it says, But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, and whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it prosper. So you see how the Lord blessed him? Joseph carried on through the darkest point in all of his trials and in his life. Joseph carried on, and God blessed him in that circumstance. Joseph didn't curse God, and neither did Job. And in the end, we're going to see how this all plays out. Ultimately, the Lord then had given Joseph a gift of interpreting dreams in the prison. So Joseph was able to interpret dreams of a couple of prisoners. And then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had a troubling dream that he couldn't understand. But Joseph's reputation he had made while he was in prison made it all the way up to the king of Egypt. And the Lord blessed him and gave him the interpretation of the king's dream, which would also ultimately save Egypt from a famine and Joseph's family from the peril of the famine. Well, you probably know how this ends. Joseph was lifted up to the highest ruler in all of Egypt next to Pharaoh. And his brothers ultimately came to him, begging him for food and for mercy. And in the end, there was a beautiful reunion with them, with Joseph and his brothers, when in tears, Joseph forgave them of all the evil they had done to him. And God used Joseph to save them from peril in a time of famine. What a beautiful ending, you know, from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high. And Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50, 19 through 21, he said, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph really lived out the principle from Romans 12:21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I think of the ultimate example of this in our Lord Jesus Christ. He allowed the powers of evil to have their way with him while he patiently endured it. He came into the world and not only did good all the time for everybody he was around, he healed people, he preached love, and he preached the kingdom of heaven. But the jealous religious leaders only repaid him with evil and had him crucified by the cruel hands of the Romans. But this was all part of God's preordained plan to save the world. What the world meant for evil, and what Satan meant for evil, God meant for the greatest good in all of the history of the universe, to save the world from their sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The lessons we learn through all of this are beautiful. Are you going through trials in your life? Most of us are. But how we respond to them will define the ultimate outcome. Will we be overcome by the trials of our lives and drift into darkness and despair? Or will we bless the Lord in our hard circumstances and the trials and patiently wait for the good to come in the outcome, and to see God's goodness through it all? Let's be thankful in our hearts and fulfill the will of God in our lives. Being thankful in all things is actually the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Will you pray this prayer with me? Father in heaven, I know you love me, and I know that you have a purpose in these trials for me. I will say with Job, that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please help me through this trial. Be with me, and may I always bless your name. I praise you and thank you that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he endured my sin on the cross even to the point of death, and that he loved me, and that he gave himself for me, and that he rose from the dead, and that he will save anyone who believes in him. I believe, Father, I believe. Please help my unbelief. Strengthen me to walk with you, to know you, and to know your great love for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you now these beautiful words from Psalm 27. Listen to these words, and perhaps this can become a light to you, and maybe even your prayer during the struggles that you're going through. Psalm 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." If you're struggling through a hard time right now, or you know those who are, the Psalms can be a beautiful place to go and find hope and peace in a time of struggle. David wrote many of these, and many of these were prophetic even to the sufferings of Christ and what he went through for us. Like Psalm 22 is an amazing psalm to look at that prophesies of the deep suffering that Christ would go through on the cross for our sins. But there's also other psalms that even talk about, in spite of our own sin, and we might have brought ourselves into the darkness of our circumstances, maybe because of our own doing, or maybe we don't know why. We have no idea why God brought this trial into our lives, but we can still cry out to him because he knows, and we can trust that he has a purpose in our life. I want to read to you Psalm 43, because this is a beautiful song, again, for those being persecuted or stuck in a trial in life. This is a great psalm even to pray to the Lord and to encourage your own soul as you go through the trial in your life. Psalm 43:1, it says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Isn't that beautiful? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Ask yourself that. This will be the cure for depression. If you're feeling anxiety or depression, ask yourself, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. What a beautiful thing that the Lord will allow us to go through the dark valleys in life, and yet he will be there with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm reminded that the Lord didn't spare Daniel from the lion's den. He let him go into it. He just spared him from the destruction of the lions in the den. But the Lord was there with him. And though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord did not let death overcome him. And the Lord was with Daniel, or Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went into the furnace. The Lord let them go into the furnace. But Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said, wow, I see one like the Son of God there with those three men. And see, that's just like us. You might be in the furnace of a trial of your life, but if you trust in the Lord, you will see that you are not alone, that Jesus is with you, and that the purpose of the trial is to draw you closer to the Lord, and that he means it for good. Those around you and the world and the devil, they mean it for evil, but the Lord means it for good. May God strengthen you and bless you, and may you never curse him. May you only bless him, and remember that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These present trials that we're in right now are only light and temporary compared to the wonderful glory that God has set before us in his eternal kingdom for those who trust in him and hope in him. May God bless you and strengthen you this week. Be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.